Well, we've been in a series called Bear over the last few weeks. It's been a little kind of spotty because, you know, Mother's Day and some different things taking place. And if we're being honest, most of us want to be anywhere but there, right? The things that Rick's talked about, it's uncomfortable, right? And so we're continuing it, though. And so especially when there is unfamiliar and doesn't come with Wi-Fi and air conditioning, right? Nobody wants to go there when it's not home. I don't know about you. I'm a bit of a homebody. I like to travel for like a day, but I want to be back at home in my bed. This past week, my wife and I, we went on a short vacation, and you know, I was without Wi-Fi, and I was away from the things that make me comfortable, and to be quite honest, I got a little antsy, right? I'm like, I don't want to be here anymore. Well, God will call us there, right, into different places, and if it's unfamiliar, uncomfortable, oftentimes it causes us to want to withdraw and to second-guess God, but we're going to continue this, and so what we've been learning is God's not in the business of making you comfortable. And I know what you're thinking. I thought he loved me. He does. He does love you. And that's exactly why he wants you to step out of your comfort zone, right? I'm a father. I've got 6 kids. And because I love my kids, I often push them into situations and positions that make them squirm, right? Because there's growth there. And God is in the business of growing us. And so when we talk about there and God sending us there, it's often uncomfortable because that's the place we're going to grow the most. And so he's in the business not of making you comfortable, but of making you obedient. Say that, obedient. Obedience is hard, right? Because obedience often means I don't get to do what I want to do. I don't get to engage in the things I want to engage with, that I have to submit myself and surrender myself to God, to his plan and his purpose. But that's exactly what there is all about. And so because there, that place he calls you to, is where everything changes. God wants you in obedience because that's where he begins to shape your life, right? Your family's life. He begins to shape our community. And he begins to impact the people in our sphere of influence. In week 1, Pastor Rick showed us that Elijah went there, right? And he went to the dried up, to the desert, the desolate. And God used a widow. He was preparing her last meal to be his provision in the season of there, showing that our source, it's not me, it's not you, it's not our neighbor, it's God, right? And God showed up, and out of nowhere, even though it didn't make sense, God provided. Then we looked at Saul, right? Saul was this guy who was originally Paul. God met him on the road to Damascus, right? And knocked him down and awakened him to God's plan and God's purpose, blinded him so he could be led, and there on Straight Street was where God gave him direction and flipped his whole story. And so there's that place, like, right, of provision. There's that place of direction. And even though God could have spoken to him, right, the entire plan and purpose, right there on the dusty road, instead he said, no, I want to see obedience in this as you go from here to there to the place that I've called you. And then there was Jonah. He's the original, I ain't going to do it, prophet, right? He's the guy that said, no. God, you want me to do this? I refuse. I got any of those in here? I know that's been me different times in my life. I got one honest person over here in a room full of liars, right? We all know that man, sometimes that's our attitude. We want to love God. We want to serve God. Heck, I raised my hand when I was 8 years old. You know I love Jesus so much. But the moment he calls us to a place of uncomfortableness, we want to start making deals with him. I know early on when I was getting awakened in my 20s that God was wanting to do something, I started trying to negotiate with him. Say, God, yeah, I mean, let me tell you, Lord, what it's going to look like if I'm going to serve you, right? And I'm just wanting to write all the things down. That's not what he's looking for, right? He's looking for obedience. He's looking for those that will follow him. And Jonah had this attitude of, Lord, I ain't going to do it. I see what you're trying to do. I'll have no part in it. And there was Nineveh. It smelled bad, right? It's a coastal town. You guys ever been? We went down to Galveston this past week, right? That stinks, man. It's right. That's Nineveh, man. That's Nineveh I've ever seen, Nineveh. And God's saying, Jonah, I want you to go there. And it's like, the beach is dirty, Lord. Man, can't we go down to like Orange Beach or something, or Destin? I hear Miami's nice this time of year. But no, God's saying, I even got you go there. And he didn't want to do it. But God said, man, this is what I have. And so It was full of enemies, but when he surrendered and went, God moved. An entire group of people were saved, right? The trajectory of this nation transformed. We had provision, direction, surrender, and every one of those happened there. Not in comfort, happened there. There is seldom a place of comfort. Seldomly a place of comfort, but God calls us there, not in comfort, not in safety, and not when it's easy. Not when it's easy. And that brings us to today's message. You know, this may surprise a lot of you guys, but I tend to be a little more aggressive when I teach, right? And I'm a little more high-strung than Pastor Rick, and so I'm all about getting us out of comfort zones. And so I want to do that today. I want to talk about assignment, because this is what I know. God's got a plan and purpose for you. And if we just adopt that, we can ride comfort forever, because, yeah, my purpose is to serve the Lord and you know, just do a little bit. But no. I want to talk about assignment, the nitty, the gritty, getting out of our comfort zone and getting engaged in the things of God so that we can make profound impacts for his kingdom. And I just want to warn you again, it's going to mess with your comfort zone, because if you're waiting on God to send you somewhere easy, somewhere without risk and no sacrifice, you're not looking for assignment. You know what you're looking for? Vacation. And God's not a travel agent, right? He's not in the vacation business. He's in the transformation business, and he's calling us to obedience. God's not raising up tourists. He's raising up missionaries, people who will obey his voice, step into the unknown, trust that there, even when it's dry, even when it's weird, even when it stinks, it's exactly where God wants to move. So here's the challenge today. What if your obedience, what if you're there, your assignment, the thing that you've been neglecting, the thing that you've been hesitant about, what if it's somebody else's breakthrough? What if God is waiting for you to awaken to his call and to be willing to go there so that he can use you to move in somebody else's life? Would that change the way that we respond to God's leading? Would that change our threshold for uncomfortableness if we knew that God could use us to impact somebody else's story? What if your obedience is the key to somebody else's breakthrough? Let's talk about it. We'll be in Acts chapter 8 today, exclusively, basically in Acts chapter 8. And so if you're new to the Bible, the whole church thing, it's in your New Testament. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then we have Acts. Those first four books tell about the life and the ministry of Jesus. And then Acts is the early church, right? After Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, Pentecost, Holy Spirit's poured out. And then it's kind of like, what are God's people doing to start the early church? And so in Acts chapter 8 is where we're going to be, and we're going to be talking about a guy named Philip. And so I want to remind you right now that we have our notes up here on the screen and in the YouVersion Bible app so that you can follow along. And then if you need a Bible too at the end of service, we'll have a story changer at the back door. If you want one of those physical Bibles, we would love to get that for you. So who was Philip exactly? Let's start there, right? Because I know this. Many of you didn't grow up in church and you're like, I don't know this guy. You know, I've got a cousin named Philip. Are they the same person? No. So I want to tell you, he was not one of the big 12, right? He was not James. He was not Matthew. He wasn't one Peter, right? He was not one of the big 12. He wasn't a big name preacher. He didn't start with a platform or a microphone. You know what he started with? A servant's heart. When we first see Philip step on scene, it's actually in Acts chapter 6. And what had happened is they needed people to step up to be chosen. And they chose seven men to distribute food to widows in the early church. And so his first ministry assignment, waiting tables. That's not very glorious, right? It didn't come with the title. And when we see the seven men that are chosen, it starts with Stephen, right? This man who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it's comma, Philip. There's nothing next to his name. He's almost a footnote in the list of the seven, right? But Philip is called, and don't miss this, he was faithful in it. He didn't complain, right? How much would change in our lives that if God calls us to stuff that's uncomfortable, as he often do, that we didn't complain, we just engaged, and that's what Philip did. He engaged in it. He didn't complain. He didn't jockey for position. He just served. He just served, and when persecution hit and the believers were scattered, he didn't run and hide. He stepped up. He stepped up. And maybe there, for you. You know, that's that thing that God's been leading you to. Like, you know, you've heard us talk about it, that we need help in our preschool ministry, but that's uncomfortable. Our student ministries could use some people, right? But we need to have this attitude, this mindset that when there's a need, we step into it, because it might be the place that God does something dramatic and drastic in the lives of people around us. And so, Philip, he didn't run and hide. He stepped up. He went to Samaria, a place most Jewish believers avoided. And he started preaching Jesus, and God showed up. And so if you don't know this, right, Samaria was this place. It was north of Israel. It was a nation full of people that had all this contention with the Israel people, right? They didn't get along. There was actually a lot of racism there. And this is the place that Philip went. And he didn't complain. He showed up. He began to preach, and miracles broke out. Unclean spirits were cast out. People were healed. The whole city was filled with joy, and Philip was in the middle of revival. And so we have this guy, Philip's on scene. He's called to serve, to wait tables, to get food to the widows and orphaned. He doesn't complain. He serves faithfully. Persecution breaks out, right? And he goes up to Samaria, and this great work of God is taking place. And I want to read just for a second. So Acts 1, it says, Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. And so this was Saul, who became Paul, and this is after the murder of Stephen, and a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was working everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them in prison. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, he went to the city of Samaria and told the people about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. And so there was a great joy in the city, right? This is amazing work of God. And he goes from this one area, and it's not glorious work or glamorous, and he's just serving people. And then he's called up to ministry here, and it is great, and it's profound, and there's a clear move of God. That's the place that everyone want to be. And then right there in the middle of this, all of that momentum, God says this: leave the crowds, leave the comfort, go south to a desert road. God says, I know you're here, and I know you like it here. Everything's going for you. Everything's going in a good direction, right? There's a great move, a great work. It looks right. But Philip, I want you to understand, this isn't what I have for you. I want you to go there, to the place that doesn't make sense. It made no sense, but Philip obeyed anyways. And what happened next changed the life of not just one man, but potentially an entire nation. And as we jump down to Acts 28, 26, it says this: as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south. Say that, go south. Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip was in Samaria. God was moving. I mean, revival breaking out. Great awakening. People getting saved, healed, delivered. I mean, it's every pastor, teacher, minister's dream, right? For this to be taking place. I mean, when things are hitting like that, that's not when you bounce out. That's not when you dip or hit the pavement. No, but that's what God said right here, right now. Hey, I want you to leave all of this. Leave the crowds, leave the miracles, the momentum, and head south into the middle of nowhere. Let's be real. That makes zero sense. And if I were Philip, my heart would probably be like, God, like, are you sure? Like, didn't Jesus said, like, go and make disciples of every nation? This is what I'm doing. This aligns here. And it's good work. It's great work. Are you sure? You want me to leave the revival for a desert road? But Philip doesn't argue. He doesn't delay. He doesn't even ask for details. You know what he does? He goes there. He goes there. He goes to the desert road. You know, I came across something interesting while studying this message. And it says the road that Philip was on, the desert road. And I've read this a lot, and I've always just kind of like looked over it. I mean, it's kind of stuck. Like, that's very descriptive, the desert road. The desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza was not the main or most commonly traveled route between the two cities. It wasn't. There were actually two routes, a well-traveled coastal road with cooler breezes and a less used, more arduous desert road. The desert road was more isolated and passed through arid, rugged terrain, making the journey difficult and less popular for travelers. So God's not even saying, he's like, I don't want you to go here, but I want you to take the worst path possible, right? Like, I've called you to a place, and I know this looks easy here, and you could go this way, but no. I want you to go out of your way, and I want you to go through the desert road. Now, to kind of help our minds here, I've brought a map with me, so I want us to look at this. And so this is up here up in Claremore. Hey, this is a great illustration, all right? That's us in Claremore, and this is Oklahoma City down here. Anybody ever traveled from Claremore to Oklahoma City? Yeah. How many of you guys took the turnpike? Now, praise God for turnpikes until they've doubled the toll. I don't know what's up with that. We should start not a revival, but a revolt against the Turnpike Authority, but we'll get to that next week. So how many of you have gone down to Muskogee to go to Oklahoma City first? Yeah, I've made that mistake too, my friend. You know, nobody likes that. It's like, I'm going to take the scenic route today. I did that one time. It was horrible, right? It adds like an hour to your drive and you just want to get home or to your destination. And this is kind of what God's telling Philip. He's like, hey, I want you to go down to Oklahoma City, but I want you to go by way of Muskogee. And be like, God, there's nothing there. Like, that's a horrible town, right? I used to live there, God. And I mean, no. Wait, for real? Yes. Yes, Aaron. Hey, I want you to go to Oklahoma City, but Go by way of Muskogee. God, that doesn't make any sense. No. I want you to do that. So that's what God tells Philip. And so he goes by desert road. He goes by desert road. And I would have been, not me, not now, not there. Muskogee, God? Like, you ever been to Muskogee? No. Trust me. Go by way of the desert road. And so Philip, because he's a man who's obedient, he went. And that's where everything shifts, because it was there, say that, there, on a dusty, inconvenient, less traveled road that a divine appointment was waiting. And Philip had no idea. God didn't tell him about it, didn't reveal, but it was in that moment, right? And on this route in the middle of nowhere that Philip would meet this man, and he would change the course of his life and impact the course of an entire nation. And so this was not a crowd. It wasn't a crusade. Philip left the multitude, a great work of God, to meet one man in the middle of nowhere. Philip left a move of God to become the move of God in one man's life. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And my first point is this: our obedience positions us for divine assignments, right? That when we're obedient, when it doesn't make sense, when it's inconvenient, that when we follow God, right, into the desert road, into the middle of nowhere, it positions us for divine assignments. And that's exactly what happened with Philip. Philip didn't hesitate. His willingness to move positioned him for divine setup. And you're there might look like a desert, but it's often the place where heaven collides with earth. You know, I remember in my own life, and this isn't about me, but, you know, it's my life, right? It's the thing I have to relate to. And I remember when God was calling me out of the business I was in, and, you know, I made decent money and things looked great and I was comfortable. And then God's saying, man, I want you to step into ministry. I'm like, God, that doesn't make any sense. But you know what? I wanted to be faithful to him, right? He'd done a great work in my life. And so I start trying to figure out how I'm going to live off $20,000 a year and still feed my kids. And I'm just going to do it, right? And it's there, right? I received this divine assignment, and I worked with kids, and I got to make this impact. And then in the kids ministry, right, the thing that I gave up my career for, God started saying, man, I want I want you to do something else. I want you to go work with adults and start stepping into recovery ministry. And this is what didn't make sense. There was no position here at the church for that. But I just knew I had to go to Rick. And I said, I realize you may have to let me go, but I can't do this anymore. I have to do this. But it didn't make sense. It was uncomfortable. And then I remember stepping into recovery ministry and God saying, I want you to start a men's program. And I was, God, I've never lived in that environment. I don't know how to do that. And he said, no, I want you to go there, right? And it's in these moments of faithfulness that we receive our divine assignments, that God begins to do something great. And so I don't know how often in our lives we miss these because it doesn't make sense. We feel underqualified because it's uncomfortable. But it's when we go there that our obedience positions us for divine assignments. And in each one of these was a moment where God said, I want you to go there. And each moment brought me out of my comfort and into the uncomfortable, but each one a divine assignment. And where's there for you? You know, the sad truth is, our church, and this isn't the sad part, we're large. 1,500 people sometimes on a weekend. We struggle at times to fill our ministries with people who serve because we're not willing to go there. Our students team, largest student ministry in Claremore, will struggle to have people to show up because we don't want to go there. We don't want to take the desert road. We've got things going on, God. It's uncomfortable. Our preschool ministry, our kids ministry, we should be busting at the seams at the door here with ushers and volunteers because we get to be the face, the first face that people see when they step foot in here, and maybe their story is one of neglect and abuse and they've come here for the first time and they're lacking a smile at the front door because somebody didn't want to go there. To be the person that God used to change a story. How different would things be if we were willing to go there, to be uncomfortable in our obedience? You may think, I'm just one person. I don't have platform. But Philip in the middle of the desert met one man and changed one man's life. And we'll see at the end of the message how that one man changed an entire nation. Our obedience positions us for divine assignments. Where's there for you? Let's look at verse 29. It says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk alongside the carriage, right? So here's this moment. Philip has been called out of this glorious, glamorous ministry, right? These things are hopping in Samaria. And God said, man, I want you to go down to Muskogee. I know it doesn't make sense, but that's where we're going. And so there Philip is. He's in the middle of nowhere. Things aren't looking great. And God, he could have got really just upset. Like, God, what am I doing here? And then there, he still had a heart that was receptive and obedient. And he'd shown up to the place, but he wasn't done listening to God. And then the Holy Spirit said to him, see that carriage there? I want you to go there. That's uncomfortable, right? And this is a guy of great importance, of authority in Ethiopia. So it's probably not just one man. It's probably this entourage. Man, it's incredibly uncomfortable. And Philip is called to walk there. And that's exactly what he does, right? And so he walks over to it. And my second point is this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. It unlocks eternal impact. Sensitivity to the Spirit, it sets us up for opportunity. And so as Philip arrived there, he had to continue to engage with God and be obedient. And there he encountered this Ethiopian, an opportunity to do something great. And sometimes this hard heart we have, right? This unwillingness to go there, that we miss all of these opportunities where God wants to use us to move in the lives of the people around us. And so Philip walks over there. And this brings opportunity, not like the opportunities that we work out in our own lives, but opportunities to do something for God that echoes through time. You know, when I look back at my moments of being obedient to God, of doing something radically different, like I wasn't raised in the church. None of this makes sense for my life. If you would have looked at my childhood, teenage years, my 20s, this doesn't make sense for me. But I was obedient, and in that, it's given me the opportunity that I know in the kids' ministry today. I started in there 12 years ago, and watching some of these kids graduate now, where I got to be a part of that. And they served Jesus, and they served with our student ministries. And it was because, you know, I went there and I was obedient that, man, I got to make this impact in their life, that God used me to echo in their lives. And it's such a great feeling. And when I look at stepping into recovery and some of the things I've got to be used for in there with the rest of the team, and it's been amazing as people's lives have been transformed. And then with Live Free, our men's ministry, it's amazing. I know this past week, and I've got permission to share some of their story to the guys. One of them, you guys probably know, Adam Wilson, and another guy named Bo. And both of them have come in, and they've graduated. And so Adam's a guy that he serves with our kids today. And he's indispensable to Ashley. I know he does great work over there. He shows up early every Sunday and helps those kids run a worship team over there and invest his time behind the scenes in a place that none of you see. You don't know that. He doesn't do it for you. He goes there early Sunday mornings to show up, to serve the kids, to serve God, to make an eternal impact. He was here at 7:30. I know last night I saw him about 7:30, dirty as all be, and he'd been cutting trees all day, worked all day long in the heat, and he's right here this morning sowing seeds in the kingdom because he's willing to go there and impact these kids' lives, right? Bo's a guy, man, he serves. We got him in our program about a year ago. He's getting ready to graduate, and he's got a rap sheet that's longer than me. It's incredible. He signed a lease this past week. Got his own place here in town. He's not from Claremore. He didn't really know the Lord when he came in. He's a man that loves God today. And his love for God and what he's encountered through the people here at Cedar Point has changed his life. And then he's going to go pick up his wife. And they've been separated this last year as they're working on themselves. He's going to go pick her up. You know what he's doing today? He's moving her into their place where they signed a lease today. Isn't that amazing? And he serves God. And we're going to get the opportunity to love on her and show her. And these things, right, when we go there and we're obedient, we have this opportunity to have these eternal moments. And so sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, it unlocks eternal impact. In each of our lives, God has used so many people that are willing to go there. Are you ready to be one of them? Are you tired of just showing up week after week and sitting and spectating? Are you ready to go there? To do more, to be uncomfortable. Philip didn't stop listening after he started moving. God's direction doesn't end with a destination. It flows in every step we take. Being Spirit-led means staying open, alert, and ready. Always ready to go there. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet of Isaiah. I shudder to think how many of us wouldn't run, right? We would be in the moment, God sent us there, and God would be like, hey, get that carriage. I'm like, oh, God, that carriage is moving awfully fast. I don't know. Philip ran up, met with the carriage. He heard the man reading, and Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I, unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. This is just this moment, divine assignment, this appointment, eternal impact unlocked. Philip finds himself with this man of great influence. And the passage of scripture that he'd been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As the lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Philip did what Philip does. He preached Jesus, same thing he did in Samaria. And his heart wasn't hard. You know, he just left these groups of people. And even though he's just with one person, he treated that one person the same way he treated the multitude in Samaria, because he knew that God had called him there. And in that moment, he took time with the one and he preached Jesus, shared the gospel. And it goes on, it says, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, again, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with the scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, There's some water. Why can't I get baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. Philip's obedience, his willingness to go there to receive the assignment of God, brought him to one person, one man in the middle of nowhere, and this man gave his life to the Lord. What a beautiful thing. And he goes, he gets baptized. My last point is this: when we show up, God shows off. When we show up, God shows off. And when Philip met this one man, God showed off. And this man was brought to his knees and made Jesus Lord. Philip didn't need a crowd. He wasn't in it for that. He didn't dismiss his impact when he was basically waiting tables. He did it faithfully. And when God called him to bigger things, he did it faithfully. And when God said, "You're done here, I'm going to send you to the middle of nowhere," he did it faithfully. He didn't need a crowd, just a calling. And one man, one moment, and one message changed the trajectory of a soul, possibly an entire nation. You never know what God will do when you simply show up. Fast forward years later, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts 21:8, we see Philip again, not as a guy who served food, but he's described as this: Philip the evangelist, a man known by his obedience, his courage, and the legacy of lives changed because he kept saying yes. He didn't care what the assignment was. If God was in it, he was there, and he kept saying yes. You don't need a title to be used by God, just to be obedient. And then, get this. I love this. I kept saying throughout this, you probably picked up on it, you know, changed the entire nation. Because of what Philip did, historians view this as the gospel. I mean, it entered Africa early, right? And the eunuch, he returns to Ethiopia with the gospel. Right? He'd heard this good news from Philip. And this is before Paul's missionary journey even begins. And so this makes this guy the first recorded non-Jewish convert in Acts after Pentecost. Isn't that amazing? Very first. Early church fathers in African tradition claimed that this event helped lay the foundation for Christianity's rapid spread across northern and eastern Africa. Isn't that amazing? Philip had no idea. God just said go, and he was there without any of the details. But God knew what he was doing, right? And he was laying this foundation. And this one man that Philip met on his way to Muskogee takes the gospel back to Africa, and it begins to spread. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church today, say that today, traces its roots back to this encounter. And Ethiopia remains one of the oldest Christian nations in the world, with Christian presence dating back to the first century, almost 2,000 years later, and they trace their roots back to one man's faithfulness, his willingness to go there when it didn't make sense, when it was uncomfortable, just out of obedience for God. Your obedience may not make sense right now, but it might be the breakthrough somebody else is praying for. It may be the breakthrough an entire nation's praying for. And we look at all the moments and opportunities where if we would just go there, if we would just serve in places we don't want to serve, talk to people we don't want to talk to, invite people, just be willing to go there, the type of impact that God can make through our obedience. There isn't just a place, it's the decision. It's not about geography, it's about obedience. There is where the comfortable ends and calling begins. There is where heaven touches earth because somebody dared to say, "Yes, God, even here." Philip didn't have all the answers. You know what he had? Availability. He was just willing. And one act of obedience turned a desert road into a supernatural turning point, not just for him, but for the man he was sent to reach and the nation that man would influence. I wish that we could know how many lives were ultimately impacted by Philip's obedience that day when we look at generation after generation after generation, a family member after family member that's come to know the Lord because Philip was willing to go there. So let me ask you this today, and I don't want you to answer with your mouth, I want you to answer with your heart. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to leave what's working, what's familiar, what's comfortable? Are you willing to obey even when the path doesn't make sense? Are you willing to stop for the one? I want you to do this. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want you to sit with this question in prayer right now. And it's this: God, am I willing to go wherever you lead? God, am I willing to go wherever you lead? Ask yourself that question. Are you willing? Or are you comfortable? Too comfortable to move? Too stubborn? Spend a moment with God.